Good morning, Kelly.
Kelly, good morning. This is David Burnett, Sublette County Commission. How are you this morning?
I'm good, Commissioner. How are you?
Doing well. We have, we're doing a Zoom meeting. We have four commissioners present, and then we have Joel Bilesman, Commissioner Bilesman, on Zoom. We're waiting for Matt Gaffney. We're a little unsure whether he's walking down the hall to this room or going to be on Zoom. So if you could bear with us, we'll wait for Matt to get here, and then we'll begin our discussion, if that's okay with you.
That's perfect with me.
Emily went to get him.
Okay. I think he'll be joining us in a few minutes.
Hey, Mr. Chairman, can you hear me now?
Yes, can hear you.
All right. Okay, are you ready to begin?
Yes, Kelly, can you hear Matt?
I can hear Matt.
Okay, good. Okay, Matt.
Okay, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
So, yeah, first item on the agenda is the discussion of the extension agent out at 4-H. We've tried to work through a couple issues. I'll brief you generally on those, and I'd like to hear Kelly's input, and then both Commissioner Noble and Commissioner Vickery's input. They sat on the interview panel as well. So the concern is that the number one applicant, that if there isn't a specific salary, and I think generally it's regarded in the mid-50s, if that offer isn't made, then he may not accept, although he may not accept anyway, because it sounds like he loves the community he's in now and he has some hesitation about leaving. And so I guess the other issue is the 50-50 split that's detailed in the MOU between the university and the county. And if there was an offer to be made in the mid-50s, that split would most likely have to be adjusted. And so that would take an amendment to the MOU. The MOU does expire in June. And then currently, the county has about $8,300 budgeted per quarter to pay for that 50% share of the extension agent's salary. So I guess I'd just like to open it up for discussion and see what the commission thinks. I appreciate Kelly calling in. I would appreciate his thoughts and his insight into the situation as well.
Kelly, would you like to comment?
Oh, I can, and I can just take questions. Can everybody hear me?
Yes, I think we can hear you fine.
I hear you, Kelly.
Yeah, I think Matt pretty well summarized it. We interviewed five candidates. We came out of that process with three that were determined to be acceptable by our committee there in Pinedale. If I was forced to rank them, I would certainly put Bill at number one, and then we had two other acceptable candidates behind him. So I talked to Bill maybe 10 days after, maybe seven, maybe a week after the interview, and he called me to tell me he was going to remove his name from consideration. So I said, well, I regret to hear that, but he asked about salary, and I had told him. And then after I got thinking about it, we had talked at the interview that there might be some room for the county to put some more in, knowing that cost of living and those things is higher than what we would usually pay. And it's really on us. We should, I mean, I would love to be able to pay our people more to make a to make it so they can live there. But anyway, so we had talked about that. So I just floated that idea with Bill. I said, if I can get you up in the mid-50 range, would you change your mind? And he said, well, that would be something that he would consider. And then he called me back and he said, why don't you leave my name in if that's the case? So that's where we kind of left it. I'd had really informal conversations with a couple of your commissioners, Commissioner Noble, about if there's opportunity to do that. Of course, he can't commit without the full commission, but he said, I think we're budgeted. I think we can do that. So, anyway, so we just kind of wanted to see if there was room to do that. My problem is, and it's our problem, not yours, not the commission's problem, is, you know, we set salary based on experience and qualifications. And it's really difficult for me, like with Steve, our previous hire. I mean, he had 27 years of experience. Turned out that didn't do him much good, but I could easily justify pretty much maxing out our salary with Steve. I can't do it with Bill just because he doesn't have the experience. So I mean, I would bring Bill in. If I pay him the mid-50s, he would be making more than every 4-H educator in Western Wyoming, and some of them that have been working for, you know, 15 years. So that's my challenge. So as we were trying to be creative on how to do this, we thought, well, we could change the split. If Sublette County wanted to pick up 60% of the salary, then we would keep paying 40% plus we pay all the benefits, which for these positions, you know, is about 40% again of the salary. So we just talked about that as a way to do it. I'm kind of lukewarm about that. I'd be willing to try it, but I hate to mess with the 50-50 split just because I'm going to have that negotiation with every county. I really don't want them to dip below 50. And anyway, that's on me. That's my challenge with it. But that's kind of where we're at. I'd like to pay him more. I'll be honest with you. I don't think we'll get Bill at our starting salary that we'd usually starting, which would be in the 41 to 42 range. And I can only guess about the other two candidates, whether we'd get them. I think we've got two good candidates behind Bill, but Bill was clearly the choice of the committee.
Okay, thanks, Kelly. We have two commissioners that were on that committee. Would you guys like to speak to that?
Well, I can speak. Kelly, this is Doug Vickery, and yes, I was on that committee. And I don't know what the differential was between number one, two, and three. I do know that my personal choice was, I suspect, number two. But obviously, the overall choices were number one, and that would have been Bill. I'm fine with that if that's how it had to be. I am a bit uncomfortable in setting a standard that's going to impact not only the rest of 4-H, but the local one here also. So I guess ultimately my question would be, if you offered that to Bill and he declined, did you go to the number two and or number three to see what their response would be?
Yeah, Commissioner Vickery, I have not. Until we decide where we're headed, I haven't done anything. I think number two and number three are still waiting in the wings. I mean, I think that's the advantage we got is we know nothing's really happening anywhere. So I'm pretty sure they're still available. I don't know what they would do. My sense is, as the way I came out with them ranked, and I'm like all of you that participate in the committee, the two and three you could switch easily. But I had Jen, for the ones that were there, Matt, Commissioner Noble, and Commissioner Vickery, Jen Matoski as number two, and then Becca Wheeler, the gal from Missouri who works for Parks and Rec right now, but we all saw a lot of potential for her. She was my number three. I don't know if we could get him or not. I could only speculate. I kind of think we could get Jen. She's an applicant in a couple of our other searches, but and I don't know what the case is with the number three candidate.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Commissioner Bousman.
Just some thoughts on this, and I did visit with Kelly some here a few days ago. I'm very uncomfortable changing the MOU to anything other than 50-50. It creates a problem for other counties. If we start that process, then as Kelly said, he's going to have that discussion with every county. If Kelly can come up with within his budget a little bit more, and at a level that he feels does not put the university in a precedent-setting position. I totally understand his comment that if we offered the amount that Bill apparently is comfortable with, he would be the highest paid new agent, that creates a morale problem throughout the state. I understand that. So I guess my thought is leave the MOU at 50-50. If Kelly can come up with a little bit more, whatever he feels comfortable with that doesn't set a precedent or doesn't create a problem with paying a new, inexperienced person beyond anybody else, then I'm okay with that if Kelly is and willing to still fund 50% of that. If he can raise it from what it is, say, to 2,000 or 3,000 and get somebody. My thought is to leave it up to, if we've got three qualified candidates, leave it up to Kelly to have that discussion. This position does report to Kelly at Extension. It does not report to us as a Board of Commissioners. I appreciate the opportunity for us to have people on the interview committee. We've been doing that for years, but we've always left that final decision up to Extension because this position does report to Extension. And so I'm not willing to go above 50% and create a problem throughout the state that's going to result if we do that. So that's where I'm at this time. Thanks.
Thanks, sir. Commissioner Bousman. Commissioner Noble?
I've got a couple of things, Chairman. One, we haven't discussed the stipend often, which Kelly mentioned earlier this month. And two, it surprises me that when we had a problem, we dealt with it. We're not willing to fix the problem now.
Who are you referencing when you say we?
Us. We put Kelly on the spot to remove Stephen. And I mean that as we. And now that Kelly's trying to put a new person in, we're not willing to help him. And the money's already in the budget, so I'm confused there. We were paying Stephen more than we're willing to pay this kid, and the cost of living in several counties, we know, second Teton County. I don't believe we're going to get any qualified person at $41,000 a year. Would you move your family and your life to Sublet County knowing that the cost of living's what it is at $41,000 a year? So I guess I'm asking everybody to have the discussion about the stipend because obviously the 50-50 isn't an option. Campbell County does a stipend for theirs because their cost of living is so high. 4-H program has always been a substantial part of Sublet County, and right now they don't have a leader. So what I think it's our job to help find that solution.
Well,
and yep. One more quick thing. We have some public on the Zoom meeting that would like to speak up.
That's good. Let me respond to you first, and then we'll get to Mr. Hayward. First off, I don't agree with your assessment that we created the problem. I think we got involved after members from the 4-H and the Fair Board started calling us up, expressing their concerns, asking us for their help. So I don't think we created the problem, so to speak.
Not trying to argue, I don't mean we created it. We helped eliminate the problem. Now it's our job to help fix the problem.
Well, there again, I'll take issue with that as well, because as Commissioner Bousman said, we're in a position of this to assist with the salary. We have no authority whatsoever with either firing or hiring. And in regards to your position of the stipend, it could be for consideration whatever the commissioners want to do. I do know that you begin to set some precedents there across the state as well, because there's other people that may be looking at moving to Sublet County, whether it's a range specialist or whoever it may be, that may want to be assisted with a stipend as well. But we can have that, continue that discussion. Gary, if you're there, can you hear me? Would you like to speak?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the opportunity to, be here, even though I'm not there. You know, as I listen to the discussions take place, I guess I would like to direct my comment to Kelly, and I do have a question from that standpoint. I realize that paying Bill might create an uncomfortable circumstance, but I do know in hiring this position that we offered this position to any other extension agent in the state that wanted to move here. So they were given an opportunity to come here for a higher salary, if you will, knowing what Sublette County commits and contributes to the program. So they did, in essence, have the ability to take a higher wage to come here if they wanted to. So I wouldn't let that hold you back, Mr. Crane, offering Bill a little higher salary than what you traditionally would offer a beginning candidate, because I do feel like he's very qualified to do this.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that, Gary, but our internal transfer policy does not include a change in compensation. So it would have been a lateral for whoever wanted this position. They would have lateraled their current salary.
So you guys do really have some major issues within your HR then, don't you?
Yeah, and I should confirm that it's at this stage with the stipend in Campbell County, it's just been something they've proposed. It's not implemented currently. That was just their solution to a similar challenge. We haven't implemented it yet because of some obvious circumstances that are going on in Campbell County, as well as probably some issues on our side. But that was what they identified as a solution. We just haven't implemented. So if we get it done here with the stipend, it would be the first. I would tell you that when we had those negotiations with Campbell County, I really wasn't part of those, but I do know that we were pretty insistent that if there was a county stipend, it would apply to all extension employees. So the range educator would also, or whoever we had in that office would be eligible for that stipend. That was the only way we could really do it.
Okay, I appreciate that, Kelly. And I'm truly not trying to put you on the spot. You know, we've had a lot of discussions. The hiring panel did, and you know, my wife, as most of you gentlemen know, is an educator here in Sublette County for Sublette County School District Number 1, and where we're hiring an educator to come into our community, we're asking a lot of them, and to do so with you know, I think our base salary is $55,000 starting for Sublette County School District Number 1, first year teacher. And I don't know that, you know, that this position would be put underneath that much pressure, but I can't see where we would offer any less than $50,000 to this candidate. And maybe he won't take that, but I'd like to think that we did everything in our possibility, everything within our capability to get the most qualified. I clearly believe he's the most qualified. Heads and shoulders above the other people.
Yeah, and I'm certainly not going to debate that. They're worth every bit of $55,000 or $60,000. I totally agree with you on that. It's just we can't, it's a little personal crusade of mine to get these salaries up, but you can't do it all at once, you know. And so that's the challenge. I'm not going to debate that. They're worth, you know. Of course, I'll argue they're worth more than a school teacher. The pressures are higher, but anyway, they're worth it absolutely.
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Go ahead, Commissioner Vickery.
This is Commissioner Vickery. So the issue here is apparently, as it is everywhere, the amount of money that someone's going to pay or be paid. So I'm wondering if, Kelly, you obviously have the number one choice that has responded, no thank you, temporarily at least. So why don't you go down to number 2 and then go down to number 3, because 2 and 3 apparently were really, really close, I suspect, and to see what their response might be. And in fact, either of those two may say the same as number 1 did, no thank you. But we won't know that. And that would put a lot of this discussion to rest that we're going through with the salary.
Mr. Chairman, this is Mac Rawhauser, Kelly. My experience of interviewing superintendents, principals, teachers over the years, they will say yes or they do say no for whatever reason. And you cannot, it seems like to me, negotiate, because you do want the number one person. There's no question about it. But as Commissioner Vickery said, once they say no, it's time to move on. It's time to go to the next one. And then if we have three candidates and all of them say, I can't afford to move to Sublette County, then maybe we have to say, boy, we have an issue we may have to address. But if we haven't talked to those two people or those two candidates about coming here, I think we're doing them an injustice, because the committee that interviewed them put them 1, 2, and 3.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of the strategy we would take too, Commissioner Rauhauser. If that's what the commission thinks, then we would certainly give the number one candidate an opportunity at the salary that we would start him at. We haven't pulled it off the table or even made an offer yet. As soon as I nail this down, then I'll start making calls, and that's the way we go, if that's the pleasure of the commissioners.
Kelly, back to a comment made by Commissioner Bousman earlier. Is there any possibility that the university would see to it to increase the amount you're offering by $2,000, whereby we would then match that and this individual would get $4,000 more than was originally being discussed?
Yeah, I'd certainly be willing to push it as far as I can without turning my whole salary matrix upside down. You know, I think we could probably push it into the 44 range, close to 45. But really, beyond that, I'm just passing too many other educators around there, and it's going to be hard to justify. I am going to use this conversation. This isn't an immediate solution to our challenge, but I'm gonna do some visiting with our budget office at the university and just let them know that this is the reality. And we've said it before. You know, my predecessor, Glenn, I think, has said this before. Well, we are just not competitive in the market. We realize that, but it certainly brings it to bear here. And I think it's a real challenge for us in not just Sublette County, but in other counties where, you know, this person's going to be working with a county employee that's going to have a higher compensation rate. And, in fact, this person will probably be supervised in that position.
Does the university have any mechanism in looking at these salary determinations for cost of living where that individual is going to be located?
Yeah, we do. And so we rely on the state to do that. And, you know, Sublette County used to get that for the cost of housing differential. So after you're over 110% of the cost of living on the state average, then the state of Wyoming establishes a stipend. So our employees in Teton County get a substantial salary stipend. But Sublette County fell, as you guys know more than I, Sublette County fell off that classification, and so did Campbell County. So Teton County is the only of our employees that qualify for the state stipend, and it amounts to a significant amount. It's a difference maker. Up there for sure.
Okay. I'll give you my comments from this conversation. I agree with Commissioner Bousman at the beginning that I wouldn't be in favor of trying to change the MOU. I would be in favor of increasing the match if UW does so. Also have some hesitation, and I think listening to you, you might as well, going down this road towards a stipend and what that may open a can of worms, not only elsewhere in this county, but elsewhere in the state. But I think it's important to come back to the point that decision is yours, we've had commissioners involved in the interview process, and you've heard from both of them today in terms of what their input is regarding the candidates that they interviewed. But I think at this point, it's going to be up to you and your group moving forward in terms of how you want to handle this, whether you want to offer that amount of money to each candidate and see what their response is, in which case, if you do and they all turn you down, and I guess that necessitates that you come back to the table. But I think that's my comments for now. The commissioners, anything else?
Mr. Chairman, I agree with staying with the MOU and following the university's lead. If they can find some money to add to the pot, then of course we can, because we're having the MOU, we're going 50-50 with the university. And hopefully that would work, but we stay with the 50-50 MOU.
Mr. Chairman, I concur. This is Joel.
Okay. Thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you fine.
Okay. I concur with Commissioner Rauhauser's thoughts. Totally willing to put more money into it, but let's keep it at 50-50 and see what Kelly can make happen on his end and leave it up to him on how to proceed from there.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Noble or Vickery?
Well, just one final comment, Kelly. I guess this is Doug Vickery. The only thing that if, in fact, you're able to find a little bit more money, whatever that is, and that individual still turns you down, then either you have to go to number two or three, or we have to start the process all over again. And I guess here again, you're going to have to shoulder that burden and just let us know where it's at.
Kelly, do you have any other comments?
No, I'll push this absolutely as far as I can get it. And it's real. I'm like you all. It's not finding the money, really, because we're budgeting this position right now, like you, probably certainly more than we're going to pay any of these candidates. It's just keeping things together as far as the whole organization that is a challenge for me. But I'll. With that consideration, I'll push it absolutely as far as I think we can. And anyway, I can't restate or state enough times how much I appreciate your cooperation. And I don't want it to look like that I really appreciate this level of support and your willingness to consider more compensation. That really, I certainly value that. Your contributions are absolutely critical to making this work, both on the financial side and on the community support side. So I genuinely appreciate the cooperation. And this might be something that we have to visit again and talk about long-term solutions to this, because it's a real challenge. And we want to hire the best person, and we want the best person to stay. And I think both of those objectives, it's naive to think that what we pay him isn't a big factor. And so we've got to find a way, and by we, I mean the university and extension, we've got to find a way to pay these people enough to keep them in these communities. So that's my challenge as I go back to back on campus. So I'm not guaranteeing any quick solutions, but I think this is helpful for me to take back to Old Main, our administrators, and say, look, we got to find a way to do this.
All right, thanks, Kelly. Well, we'll keep working on it, and you keep us posted on what your decision is.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, okay. Well, Commissioner Noble has a comment.
I just have one last comment, and it's for the leaders and the 4-H people that are holding this together right now. That's an outstanding bunch. They're all stepped up and filling the place of the 4-H extension person that's missing. Can't thank you enough. Hang in there.
Thank you. Well, Kelly, I guess we'll conclude this portion of the agenda, and thanks again for helping us out and participating.
Thank you. Okay. Good luck. I'll keep you posted.
All right. Thanks, Kelly. Is Matt still available? We're still, Matt's got a couple other items.
Yeah. He just put his phone on mute.
Can you hear me now, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, I can, Matt. Go ahead.
Okay, sorry about that. Okay, moving on. I know we're behind schedule, so I'll do my best to catch us up. The appointment of the Centennial Committee. I received five letters of interest from Merritt Langford, Todd Brown, Tim Thompson, Debbie Wojcicic, and from Clint Gilchrist. So my thanks to all of those folks. I think the commission should appoint all the folks who did submit letters of interest if they're willing to volunteer their time and efforts and resources. I think all of them should be appointed. So that's my recommendation moving forward with the Centennial Committee.
Okay, thank you. We have a recommendation from Matt Gaffney to appoint these five individuals that have applied for the Centennial Committee. If I could have a motion for that appointment, please.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
This is Joel. I move we appoint the five people that Matt Gaffney mentioned to the Centennial Committee.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? If not, we have a motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries. Okay, Matt.
Thank you. And I'll notify all the applicants that they were appointed.
Okay.
Okay, moving on. Chief Cooper had a question about his specific authority to spend money as the IC during the COVID pandemic. So we chatted, and he would feel far more comfortable if he had a motion and vote from the commission that gave him the express authority to spend taxpayer dollars as the incident commander. So I wanted to open that up for discussion with the commission and hopefully get a motion or vote as a result.
Okay, thank you. Does the commission understand what the request is from incident command? In that position, typically the incident commander has the authority to purchase or approve expenditures that is deemed necessary to the situation at hand. And in this case, we're talking specifically about COVID-19. We have an account set up with the county for these expenditures to be turned into, and we have great expectations that the majority of this money is going to be returned to us through the monies provided from the government to the state in this CARES Act. So I would consider a motion giving Shad Cooper the authority to spend money, taxpayers' money, as incident command on this COVID-19 situation.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Got a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. Is there any discussion or any clarification?
Well, I guess the only thing I would ask, is there a cap on each expenditure where it can take the whole thing at once? How does that work?
You know, I can't speak for Shad, but I can tell you from the situation we're in, there's not a cap per se because we don't know what all we're facing. I think those expenditures will be turned in at his discretion, and then they're going to be tagged for the COVID-19, and every one of those expenses will be submitted for repayment from the government. But as far as a tag, a limit, or whatever, I don't envision that. I don't want to hamstring him in any way. I want to give him the complete authority and the leeway to make the decisions as the incident commander on whatever items it is that we may need.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, at some point in time in this in the bill, so to speak, is there going to be compensation for the chief because this, what he has been asked to do, is way on and above being the fire chief?
You know, I have no idea the answer to that. I do know that Chad has graciously and diligently taken this on, and however long or whatever, we owe him a debt of gratitude because of that. But I think that's something that could be discussed at a later time. Commissioner Bousman, do you have a question, comment?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to mention that I know Clerk Long is aware of this, and that we need to, or we can code our expenses for FEMA reimbursement back as far as January 20th. And just to let the public know and let everybody in the commission meeting know, that's what we're told by FEMA and the Office of Homeland Security. So it is so critical that we have this separate COVID account established, and with the idea that most or maybe all, we don't know yet, of whatever expenses that we spend directly addressing this situation will likely be reimbursable through FEMA. There's also another potential for reimbursement, and I'm not up to speed on that. It's in addition to FEMA reimbursement, maybe some through some of the bills that have been passed by Congress, that where money will be allocated to the state of Wyoming. That will probably entail a special session of the legislature at some point to determine how that money will be allocated back to counties, which will be another process by which we as counties get reimbursed. So I just wanted to bring that up and mention it.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Bousman. And in regards to those comments, I think it's important that we get the message out to various departments that with that FEMA money, FEMA accounts for 75% of those expenditures. The other 25% is on us. However, there are, I'm sure, numerous ways that what we're doing in terms of volunteer work, et cetera, can be utilized as an in-kind contribution towards that 25%. Is that right, Carrie?
Yes, and ML is tracking hours like they do at a wildland fire.
Right.
So everything is being tracked and coded as such.
So there again, we are, I don't want to say ahead of the game, but we've had some good planning in this. This has been ongoing for a while. So I think we're in pretty good shape with that regard. So if there's not any other comment, we have a motion and a second to give Chad Cooper the authority as an incident commander to spend taxpayer monies. I'll call the question. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. Okay, Matt.
I know Ms. Long had the budget transfer notice for 10 o'clock, so I know there are folks, I still have more agenda items to get to, but I didn't want to run over so much that we, I guess I just wanted to turn over to Carrie if she wanted to do that now.
Yes.
That's a good idea. Thank you, Matt. We'll get back to you after we get through this 10 o'clock item.
Okay.
Would you like to pull that chair out to the center of the room?
I would love to. How is everybody?
Very good.
Good,
Tracy. How are you?
Doing all right. Okay, so we have a little budget transfer today. The total amount is $36,756.26.
Can you say that again, please?
$36,756.26.
Okay.
And it is just little odds and ends that have come through for the past, what we did a transfer in December. So for the past 3.5 months, it represents you'll notice in your particular line item under consultants, that was a refund of C.E. Brooks. We overpaid on their account. There was a special attorney from Reed Smith that was refunded back, so we put it back to y'all's budget. Tegler's, we got a refund for $49. In the fire warden section on the bottom, they had a grant from the Fire Chiefs Association for $2,100. The firemen had retirement of $2,580. Those volunteers can pay their retirement in, so that's what that money is. They individually pay it for the year, since they are volunteers, and then they, when they retire, they get benefit. They did some training for the town of Pinedale, so that was $107. Every quarter, I think it is, they get a rebate from Lower Valley Energy for their utility bills up at Bondurant Fire Hall. That's what we have $2,400 in money from Teletractors, which was from the Skyline Drive where they're taking the rocks out of there. $25,000 is from the town of Pinedale for the memorial, Veterans Memorial Project. That's their portion that they paid to us. We have restitution from Circuit Court and District Court to the Sheriff's Office in the amount of $439.64. We have some grant money from the Sheriff's Association to the Sheriff's Office as well as $322. And then we have drug testing supplies from Circuit Court, District Court, and then one of their participants in the amount of $1,325. So just some cleanup of unanticipated money that the county has received that we're going to put back to those budgets and make them good. So in preparation to put out the budget worksheets this week.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
This is a public hearing. Are there any comments from the public with regards to this budget transfer? Hearing no comments, I would entertain a motion that we approve the budget transfer in the amount of $36,756.26.
So moved. Second.
Got a motion and a second. Any discussion? If not, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Thank you. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Tracy.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Tracy.
You're welcome.
Hang on just a second.
Sure.
Okay. Can I have a second?
What?
Can I have a moment?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. You'll notice Janice is back here. Tracy's going to be retiring this summer, and she is transitioning Janice into that position. I'm very excited to have Janice on, and thank you, Tracy, for everything.
You still have time to change your mind. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Trace.
You're welcome.
So, Matt, I guess we can go back to unfinished business. I think what are we talking about next?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to talk about the Jonah tax proposal. I received that from Mr. Ulrich. Yesterday, I forwarded to the commission and various elected officials. I know Paul is on the phone. In essence, I'm sure the commission is well aware of HB 159, which mandates that ad valorem taxes be paid on a monthly basis. However, there is a section in the statute that allows taxpayers to enter into independent agreements with the county that alter that monthly payment requirement. So, again, you have the proposal from Jonah in front of you, or at least sent it yesterday, so hopefully you have it in front of you. They are a taxpayer in good standing. They take their financial and tax obligations very seriously. They employ about about 200 folks here in Sublette County, and so I would recommend that the commission submit this proposal to legal counsel to see if an independent agreement can be developed between the county and Jonah. And so I don't know if Paul had any comments, but that would be my recommendation at this time.
Okay. We've got your recommendation. Paul, if you're on the line, we'll get to you in just a moment. Right now, I'd like to open it up to the commissioners to see if they have any comment on this proposal or request in terms of moving forward or not.
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Bowsman.
I support a discussion on moving forward with legal counsel to see, you know, what an agreement might look like. My recommendation in that regard would be to see if we can contract with John McKinley, who has years and years of experience in dealing with these kinds of issues, and he has represented us well on these kind of issues in the past. That may take support, I think, from our county attorney, Mike Crossan. He probably, if he's got time, would need to be involved if we do have a conference call with John. Then Mike would need to be on that call, I believe. I'd leave that up to him whether he needs to or doesn't need to. But I do think that is the best way to have the experience we need to address this issue, see what's doable and what isn't. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Bowsman. Do any other commissioners have a comment?
You know, I'm not very knowledgeable on this stuff, so I guess my comment would be, I understand John has been involved with the county in a long time, but we also have an attorney that had been voted in by the people, and I think that should be the step that we start with, and then if it becomes evident that it's more expertise needed than perhaps could come out of the county office here, then the county attorney should contact whoever that individual is, probably John, and go forward with that discussion. That's my take on it.
Any other comments?
Mr. Chairman, number one, speaking for Mr. Ulrich's company, they're the ones that have been flipping the bill for many, many years. And myself personally feel that we should try to hopefully, through our lawyers, and if we decide to go with Mr. McKinley, to come up with an agreement that everybody can live with, knowing that they have been a steward of paying taxes, done very well, and they employ maybe as many or more than anybody else here in the county. So I think we need to help them as best we can to get this problem solved and move forward with the economy the way it is and the way their company is. Everybody's struggling right now, and everybody needs everybody else's help.
I would like to say, after looking at that, the request, I think it's reasonable. I do agree with your comments about Jonah and what they have done for the county. I do think it's worth investigating. There is a provision available in the past version of House Bill 159 whereby we might reach an agreement with this. I think it's something we ought to look into. I think we can contact the county attorney's office and see if that is his bailiwick, wheelhouse, or he would welcome any outside counsel with expertise regarding this. Paul, I see you're on the Zoom. Would you like to make comments or give a presentation or speak to this?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thanks for the opportunity today, and I certainly appreciate the discussion, and I wanted to provide just a little bit of a background on what the actual ask is and how, at least how I see us moving forward. We're not asking for any changes over what we're doing today. As a lot of you know, this past legislative session and to be honest, the past couple of years, there have been some serious challenges up in the northeast corner of Wyoming with coal mines and a couple bad actors in the oil and gas industry that have not fulfilled their responsibility of paying their taxes on time. And so there has been a push which resulted in House Bill 159 to migrate from the current 6-month lag payment on ad valorem to a monthly payment to shore up, to essentially shore up and tighten that time frame where counties could be impacted. We felt very strongly throughout the legislative session that a bill like that didn't accomplish what we thought the bringers did, which was protecting and rightfully protecting counties from bankruptcies or late payments. We felt that a priority lien and what we refer to as a super priority lien, automatic lien on our assets, including production, was a better way to go to protect counties. However, the bill did pass, as all of you know, and part of that bill, and our argument was we're going to be required under this bill and certainly the original version of this bill to pay additional taxes over a period of a transition. And for a taxpayer in good standing, we did not feel that was equitable. We worked with the legislature and ultimately got subsection F included into the legislation, which allows us to enter into an agreement with the county, in our case, Sublette County, to keep our payment schedule as it is. The reason for us is very simple. Whether it was one of the state's very largest ad valorem taxpayers, whether it was a $45 million hit over a transition period, or what ultimately came out of House Bill 159, which is a much reduced impact, there was still a capital investment and a cash flow impact. My thinking, happy to discuss this, is I would hope the citizens of Sublette County would rather we spend cash flow and capital developing our resource, providing those jobs, and ultimately providing much more tax revenue than shoring up a transition period for ad valorem. When there are better ways for us to protect our development and to be honest, Mr. Chairman, protect the county as well with putting in some of those protection measures through an agreement that if we do get to a point of financial distress, if we're late on a payment, then we kick into monthly and we put those protection measures and provisions into an agreement. What that allows us to do is provide our banks with the financial assurances that here in a couple of years we're not going to get hit with a major capital investment that provides no return. It gives us that financial assurity, and we want to make sure that whatever agreement we enter in that keeps our payment schedule the same also provides those protection measures and assurances for you.
Paul, I would like to say thank you for looking into and stating the safeguards for the county should they pursue with that. I think that's very notable and noteworthy and indicative of the kind of relationship we've had with your company. So I think we appreciate the fact that moving forward, if we decide to investigate this, there will be safeguards in the event that you can't meet what your stated obligations are. So Matt Gaffney, correct me if I'm wrong, I think what we need is probably a motion from the commission to move forward with investigating the process that's outlined in Section F of House Bill 159 and pursue legal counsel to move forward with that investigation. Is that correct, Matt?
That is correct, Mr. Chairman. There's certain statutory criteria that must be met before the agreement can be executed, and so that would be my recommendation at this time.
Okay, so I think by making that motion, it would allow for us to entertain legal process or obtain legal counsel in that investigative process as outlined in the request on Section F, and that would be then turned over to the county attorney, and then discussion could pursue if perhaps he needed further counsel with regards to this investigation. Is that correct? Okay, so commissioners, I will consider a motion that we seek legal counsel initiated with our county attorney to investigate this request from Jonah and investigate the process that's outlined in Section F of House Bill 159, which allows us to alter the ad valorem tax payment.
So moved. Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Just a comment, and then just to let everybody know, there was hours and hours of discussion during the legislative session, both with PAW and Ultra, trying to come to an ultimate bill that would give counties the tools that we need within the individual counties to do this sort of thing. It didn't happen very easy, but but the resulting bill is what we have. Keep in mind, as we go down this road, what a question will come up immediately. Do we negotiate an individual agreement with each company in the county? Do we invite the companies, Ultra, for example, to to join us in this discussion, and if they want to where whatever agreement we reach with Jonah would apply to all our companies? I don't think we know the answer to that at this point, but those are discussions that we will need to have. An individual agreement that's different with every company could make this pretty complicated. So anything we can do going down this road to simplify it, I think, would be good. With that said, I would make the motion along the lines you indicated, Mr. Chairman, to look into Section F in House Bill 159 to see what our possibilities are.
Do I have a second, Commissioner Noble?
I need some clarification. There's parts of your motion I appreciated more.
What I asked for,
legal counsel coming through our
and the motion I asked for did include the fact that we are going to seek legal counsel to investigate this process, and that counsel would begin with the county attorney and would move forward as deemed necessary by the county attorney. So, Joel, I think we're saying that's
my motion.
Okay.
That is my
okay. Yeah. As I stated, Carrie.
As yes.
Okay. All right, second.
Yep.
Second by Commissioner Noble. Now, any other comments?
Discussion, sir. This is John Parvisini, County Assessor.
Yes, go ahead.
I don't want to stand on one side or the other of making this decision, but I do want to point out that I have found out very quickly that when you set a precedent, especially in this kind of consideration, it will snowball. And so I think Commissioner Bousman pointing out that this will not just be the one company. You will, in fact, get this from every other producer once you go and go down this road. So I think the intent was to reward companies in good standing. But as we've seen, you have a company that's in good standing until suddenly they're not. And we have company that, you know, we've been in court with for a while. But I think really pointing out that we're seeing this year for our returns, the companies are getting very creative in some of their reporting. And so I've tried really hard not to go and set precedent where it's not been done before, especially, you know, you don't know what's going to happen going forward. But I think you're on the right track as far as investigating it. But I think Commissioner Bousman was very right that you're going to get really a lot of asks for this same consideration.
All right. Thank you, John. I think Commissioner Bousman was right as well, and I think that's it kind of points to, I guess, the process where we would need somebody well experienced and has an extensive background in this. But I think what we're opening the door for is to consider an investigative process, and a number of those things will have to be taken into consideration. And I think that's why we need good counsel.
Mr. Chairman.
Just a minute, we have a comment from the floor, Paul.
Do I need to come to the middle?
Yeah, you come, Emily.
Emily Parvacini, Sylvia County Treasurer. I personally am not in favor of moving them to 6-month payment. The reason that they set up this House Bill 159 is to protect our counties. Our counties are the ones bearing the brunt of these problems when they don't make their payments and when they go bankrupt. By making them have a monthly payment, the detriment to our counties and all of our entities, our schools, libraries, rec boards, is much less. That was the intent on this bill. And I realize that Jonah is in good standing with the county, but we also have an NOVC that we're gonna talk about later today, two of them for Jonah, that are multiple hundreds of thousands of dollars that the county has to pay back. You know, that's not going to help our entities at all if they could get their information more correct to begin with. That would help. And I think by making monthly payments, hopefully that will eliminate some of that lag that we're experiencing now. It's not going to make NOVCs go away, but it might help. That's my thinking. I also think that it's just too premature. Nobody has really done any of this House Bill 159 in real life. I think it's premature for all of us to consider pushing it to the wayside before we've even tried it. Give it a shot. See if it doesn't help.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Ulrich, would you like to have another comment?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I appreciate that, and I want to make a couple points regarding recent statements. Bottom line is, having worked this issue throughout this past legislation and in years past, I strongly believe that two factors are far more impactful to protecting the counties than moving to monthly. And let me make something very clear. If any given company is financially stressed and cannot pay under the current schedule, and that's all we're asking, is for the commission to initiate the process of investigating keeping our payment schedule as is. But I want to make something very crystal clear. If any company is financially distressed where they cannot pay abhorrence, severance, federal mineral royalties, whether or not that schedule is every 6 months or every week or every day, it's going to make very little difference to the impacts to Sylvia County. What will and can and should make a difference is the lien priority bill that passed this past session, and then additional protection measures that we are more than willing to enter into in agreement with Sylvia County. That will provide a high level of protection. I said it to the legislature over and over and over again, moving to monthly doesn't solve your problem. I've never believed that. It may, in some cases, lessen it. It may not. Priority lien, super priority lien, and additional protection measures and triggers can get you there. We're not asking for anything new. We're asking for the existing payment schedule that we have been operating under since we as Jonah have been in existence. That's it.
Okay.
I will say, I do not think this is premature. This issue has been around for a number of years. It's critical to us, and it's critical to our financial institutions. In the worst possible economic environments I've been involved in, that we have some certainty on our payment schedule, and that we have some certainty that we're not going to get deemed down the line as a taxpayer in good standing for the faults and the sins of somebody else in this industry across the state. With that, Mr. Chairman, I think it's absolutely worth investing and investigating for us to be doubled up for any period of time on cash flow. That money can and should be going towards providing jobs and providing production and providing development in this state instead of transitioning to a monthly payment where, quite honestly, we've done nothing wrong to warrant that sort of additional cash flow hit.
Thanks, Paul. Okay, we have any more discussion amongst the commissioners? If not, we have a motion and a second. And I'll call for the vote. Yes, Commissioner Bowsman.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I would like to address, I couldn't see who made that comment about NOVCs, but that was a critical, NOVCs are a critical issue in regards to the timeline where we get a major NOVC. It really has a negative impact, complications for our school districts. And one thing, as we go, assuming we go forward with this investigation, I would like to see if we can put language in a contract that would limit the time that a company could ask for evaluation change. In other words, move that time up sooner to where I think that would help a lot in addressing the issue. Now, legally, that's a legal question I don't know the answer to, but we certainly need to ask that question to see if we could somehow address the timeline on NOVCs through individual contracts authority granted to us in Section F. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Bowsman. Just FYI, that comment was made by our treasurer, Emily Parvacini.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Emily.
All right. I'm going to call for the vote on the motion that's been presented. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? I think motion carries unanimously. So, Matt, I'm counting on you to, as a result of this motion, get the necessary information to the county attorney's office so he can begin to review that and make a determination if he would like to have outside counsel to help him with this investigation.
Sure thing, Mr. Chairman. It's already been submitted to him, so he should have all the information that I have that's been given to me by Mr. Ulrich. So, I'll confirm that, and I guess any future communications need to happen between the county attorney and Mr. Ulrich.
That's correct, but for our benefit, I know he has that, but could you please indicate to him that we have proceeded with this by motion?
I sure will.
Okay. All right.
I swear I'm almost done. Okay, the next item is the COVID-19 cost share agreements with governmental entities. This agenda item actually can be broken out into two parts. The first cost-sharing agreement is with FEMA. Chief Cooper has moved mountains to negotiate a cost-share agreement with FEMA through the Wyoming Office of Homeland Security. The substance of the agreement is that the federal government will reimburse the county for personnel salaries. They'll reimburse 75% of all personnel salaries spent on the COVID pandemic, and the county would be on the hook for the remaining 25%. The hitch is that we don't have the final agreement from Office of Homeland Security. We've been asking for it for over a week now, and we still don't have it. And so I wanted to open up a discussion with the commission in terms of how to move forward. I don't want to have to call a special meeting to sign the agreement, and I don't want to have to wait two more weeks if it comes in tomorrow. And so my recommendation would be a motion to vote to allow the chairman to sign the agreement with the Office of Homeland Security with the caveat that it must state that the federal government will reimburse 75% of all salaries spent on the COVID pandemic. So that's the first issue about cost-sharing agreements for the commission to consider.
Matt, if I could ask this question, I understand the timeliness of this. I understand the situation in terms of not having to have a special meeting, but I also want to understand that when this agreement comes forward, that it will be passed through the county attorney's office, and we will, before I sign it, if I'm allowed to sign after this motion, that it will be with the condition that the county attorney has reviewed it as his office does all contracts.
Yes, that's the intent, Mr. Sherman.
Okay. So does the commission understand the request? Mm-hmm. The request and the motion would be that we would approve this cost share agreement with FEMA, providing that agreement has language in it that they reimburse 75% of the personnel cost, and with the consideration that before I sign the document, it has been reviewed by the county attorney's office and approved.
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Commissioner Noble, seconded by Commissioner Vickery. Any other questions or comment? If not, I'll signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. And then the second matter regarding cost share agreements is Chief Cooper and I had a conversation, and he very strongly recommended that the commission start to consider a cost share agreement with local governmental entities. Due to the fact that now is the best time to negotiate those terms, and when everything is said and done, it's really easy for folks to be pointing fingers at who owes what. And so his recommendation was that I petition the commission to start developing a cost share agreement with local entities. So several questions I had is this something the commission wants to pursue? What entities do you think I should contact, and are there any guidelines that you want me to start with to start developing this cost sharing agreement?
Number one, I'm asking the commissioners, are you generally in favor of pursuing this cost sharing agreement with the government entities? I for one am.
Yes.
Yeah.
Could you give me an example, Mr. Chairman, of one of those entities?
Local government entities?
Mm-hmm.
That could be the town?
The town, okay, sure.
It could be mm-hmm. national government mm-hmm. entities, whether it's BLM, Forest Service.
Okay.
And the cost share would be what?
Well, we don't know that. That's what he wants to negotiate, wants to look at ahead of time, so that when the time comes and the need arises, we've already done the negotiation rather than having to start it up in the midst of it, I think is what he's saying.
So, just a question for myself.
Mr. Chairman.
Just a minute. Commissioner Noble has the floor. Just a minute, Joe.
That could include the rural health care system.
Yes.
Possibly even the visitor center, because they're the COVID hotline. I'm just asking just for some thoughts amongst us.
I think if they're a government entity.
Okay, so that would exclude that, but what about
Well, the healthcare districts, they're a taxpaying entity. They're an elected position. I think that
would count. I don't know, I'm just trying to get a grasp on how big this could be.
Matt, have you got an answer to that? I mean, in terms of looking at the numerous partners that may be coming into this, would it be fair to assume that the healthcare district would be part of that as well?
Yes.
Have you got a, off the cuff, off the top of your head, some of those that you have in mind? We mentioned the town municipalities. We mentioned some of the government entities, the healthcare district. Do you have other things that you have in mind that help us think?
No, Mr. Chairman, that was my initial thinking, was to reach out to the healthcare district in the three towns and go from there.
Okay.
Okay, so I'll begin that process. And are there any general guidelines that the commission wants me to keep in mind as we move through the process? Or should I just start the conversation and see where it goes?
I would think you would start the conversation and do that in conjunction with Chief Cooper, who has a vast amount of experience in these types of things. So, and then give us a, you know, as it, the process develops, keep us informed and let us what we need to do in terms of approval or not.
Okay, will do, and I appreciate that.
Okay, thank you.
And then the I couldn't hear if the amendment was made to the agenda regarding that letter to Senator Barrasso and his staff thanking him and his legislative assistant for assistance in negotiating with FEMA, but that was the final item I had for the commission today.
Actually, that wasn't amended to the agenda item. I oversight on my part, and I think what we can do is bring that up under old business. I think Commissioner Bowsman, when he gets to old business, can make note of that, and we can take care of it at that time. Does that sound good, Joel?
That'll work for me, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thanks, Matt.
Okay, with that, yeah, I have nothing further, so thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. We can call a timeout. What time do we have to call this?
10:30, about 15 minutes ago.
Yeah, so is it going to...
No, he's waiting. He knows.
Can he wait 5 more minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you want to take a quick recess? Yeah, 5-minute recess. We'll come back and get...